The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
See you, Bernie.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I bet if each one of you took a few minutes this morning, you could come up with quite a list of things that you would never want to be empty. I mean, if you had your way, they would be perpetually full. What kind of things would you think of? I have my list for sure. Ground coffee in the canister on the counter in the kitchen every morning. Gas tank on the minivan. Obviously, my checking account. And my propane tanks, so that I would not have to haul them into town and refill them ever so often. Wouldn't it be great if these things on our list never ran out? But has that ever really happened before? Not to us, I'm sure. We know that our everyday experience shows us that eventually everything runs out. Eventually, it is empty. Eventually, what we have is gone. What we live with day in and day out is the cold reality that there never seems to be enough. Which sets up a rather couple of interesting scripture texts for us this morning. And we begin with a widow on the verge of running out. Now, before we get there, a little bit of background here from 1 Kings. Near the end of chapter 16, Ahab becomes the king of Israel, and he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any king before him. And that's saying quite a lot. Perhaps the worst thing that King Ahab did was that he led the people away from the Lord and into worship of Baal. So then, at the beginning of chapter 17, Elijah announces God's judgment on Ahab and the land by predicting a severe drought. Afterwards, the Lord tells Elijah to go east into hiding and that he would provide for his needs. In time, then, the Lord directs Elijah to Zarephath, and Elijah immediately follows the Lord's instructions. Which brings us then to our text this morning. When Elijah arrives, he sees the widow. She is out gathering sticks for a fire, and Elijah asks for some water and some bread. Well, she goes on to explain that she and her son have enough flour and oil for one meal only for themselves. You see, Elijah quickly learns the grave reality of her situation. She has nothing to give him. Her small family is living in a land of scarcity. With little or nothing left, she is prepared to make a final meal for the two of them, that they may eat it and die. Seems like a rather dramatic response to Elijah, doesn't it? Maybe she's making an absurd statement to match his absurd request. More likely to highlight the severity of her situation. Now, we can fully understand the woman's response and her reluctance. We likely would have done the same because that's the logical thing to do. That brings us to another widow this morning, the one in our gospel. Now, if we apply that same language, that logic, it makes this scene in the temple rather difficult to understand. It's Tuesday of what we call Holy Week, and Jesus is in the temple teaching. He has just finished warning the people to beware of the teachers of the law, explaining the evil of their self-importance, and then sits to watch people put their offerings in the temple treasury. The scene sort of zooms in on this widow. She is virtually invisible in the temple, nothing more than sort of a speed bump to be avoided as the rich go about their daily lives. She pulls out two copper coins, no fanfare, no trumpets blaring, no pats on the back, and she puts them in. The smallest of drops in an ocean of money. Why would she do that? What was she thinking? You see, logic says, if that's all you have, why give it away? How can this be anything but complete foolishness? So today we have two very different stories, but our logic leads us to the very same conclusion. If you are down to your last meal, don't give it away. If you are down to your last penny, don't give it away. That's how we think, and we often justify it in our own minds by saying, surely God understands the nature of scarcity. Well, he most certainly does. The problem's not with him. The problem is with us. Scarcity makes us want to hold on and to protect the things we have. We've all been there. I have $20 until the end of the week. I need some gas in my car, some bread and eggs for the kids at home. I have to make sure it lasts. If I give it away, well, then what am I going to do? That's what human logic tells us. We are happy to feed the poor when the refrigerator is full, happy to give, happy to donate when the account is overflowing. When it gets down to it, we tend to trust in our own abundance. Yet how often does abundance reveal itself as a hindrance for God moving in our lives? Mark chapter 10 tells us of a rich young man coming to Jesus wanting to gain eternal life. After a conversation with Jesus, he says, "Take everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me." And the young man walks away sad and dejected because he had so much. His heart and his trust was in his abundance. Logic is a gift from God, but sometimes logic gets in the way of what God is trying to teach us. And the two widows teach us the same lesson. God gives us scarcity as a doorway to trust. You see, trusting in the Lord is the only way to see that these two readings make sense. The first widow obeys, and she gives to Elijah, and her son and Elijah and her eat every day. Now, Mark doesn't tell us what happens to the widow in the temple, but the point is clear. When we trust in the Lord, there is always enough. Of course, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? But it shouldn't be a surprise, because God has been using scarcity to lead people to trust him for a very long time. When the people in the desert were starving, the Lord gave them manna and quail so that they would put their trust in him. When they were thirsty, he provided water from a rock so that they would trust him. With just 5 loaves and 2 fish, thousands of men and women and children were fed. There was so much abundance that there was leftovers. All because with Jesus, there is always enough. Yes, Jesus is always enough. A lesson we struggle to learn, but one that time and time again points to the cross. Jesus came to be enough. Enough to pay the full price of our sins. His mission was not about multiplying food, but about a ransom and a restoration to free our souls and fill us overflowing with God's grace and forgiveness. The Old Testament sacrifices were never enough to cleanse us from our sin permanently. They were a response by the people, trusting in the promise God had made of a Savior. Our epistle reading from Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is what the people trusted in and that he came to be enough. He writes, he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus was enough for the people of the Old Testament, and Jesus is enough for us. It is into the full sufficiency of Jesus that you have been baptized. You have joined with him in his life, death, and resurrection. You are credited with his righteousness, empowered by his grace, crowned with his glory, and loved with a never, ever ending love. So perhaps next time, when you've been hurt, wondering if you have enough to forgive, remember, with Jesus, there is always enough. Or perhaps you're down to your last dollar, and you happen across a person who needs help, and you're wondering if you can afford it. Remember, with Jesus, there is always enough. As God's redeemed children, we need not fear scarcity because our Father is a God of rich abundance. When we put our trust in the Lord, when we put our trust in Jesus, we can be sure that no matter the circumstances, there is always enough. Amen.